Welcome to another deep dive. We've got some really cool stuff to look at today.
Yeah, this one's gonna be fun.
It seems like our listeners are really into air quality and how it all works, especially in those big European cities.
Definitely. They've given us a pretty good mix of things to work with too, some Python code.
Oh yeah, I saw those snippets. It's pretty complicated.
It's actually not too bad once you break it down. It's all about analyzing data,
Listen,
really.
yeah.
Yeah, like from this huge data set we have. The World Air Quality Index. It's got info on like 380 cities around the world, going all the way back to 2015.
Wow, that's a lot of cities. In 2015, that's almost 10 years of data. So what kind of stuff does it track?
Pretty much everything you can think of related to air quality, pollutants like PM2.5, which is the really tiny stuff, PM10, nitrogen dioxide, ozone, you name it.
Okay, so it's got the bad stuff. Makes sense.
But it also has things like temperature, humidity, and wind.
Oh, so it's not just about pollution. It's about how weather impacts how we feel in these cities.
Exactly. And you know what's really cool? The Python code shows us how to download and process all that data.
So we can actually see how air quality changes over time.
Yeah. And even make some cool visualizations.
Now that sounds interesting. Like what kind of visualizations?
Well, one of the things the code does is calculate something called the Temperature Humidity Index, or THI for short. It's
Sounds
basically like a feels-like temperature, takes into account both the temperature and how humid it is.
Makes sense. I know some of those European cities can get pretty humid in the summer. Rome, for example.
Exactly. So with the code, we can actually see how comfortable or uncomfortable it feels in those cities.
Wow. So how does the code actually work? Because I'm looking at these snippets and they seem a little intimidating.
Well, one of the key things it uses is this tool called Dask. Have you ever heard of it?
I don't think so.
It's pretty awesome, actually. Imagine you have this massive amount of data, right? Dask can split it up and process it all at the same time, like a team of super fast data crunchers.
Oh, okay. So instead of analyzing things one by one, it's like doing it all at once.
Exactly. That's why we see this big jump in speed when downloading the data, as mentioned in those slides.
Speaking of those slides, I was looking at one that mentioned parallel downloading. What exactly does that mean?
It's kind of like having multiple lanes on a highway instead of just one. You can download multiple files at the same time.
That's smart. Definitely speeds things up.
Yeah.
So we have this data. We can process it with Python, and we can even make visualizations. What else is there?
Well, there's even a quiz.
A quiz about all this stuff.
Yeah. It's actually a great way to test our understanding of the code and how it all works. One of the questions was about filtering the data to include only temperature and humidity.
Why would you only want those two?
Well, remember that temperature humidity index. It only needs those two to give us that feels like temperature.
Ah, right. So we can focus on how comfortable it feels in different cities.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned something about an open data movement in your notes. What is that?
It's a really cool idea. It's all about making data freely available to everyone, not just scientists or researchers, like this WAQI data set, for example.
So anyone can just access this information.
Yep. And use it for all sorts of things. Like, did you know that even the United Nations has a big platform for air quality data? It was launched back in 2020.
I had no idea. So this open data thing is kind of a big deal.
Definitely. Because when people have access to information like this, they can make informed decisions about their lives and even hold their governments accountable.
I like that. So we've got this WAQI data set, Python code to analyze it, and this whole open data movement. Where do we go from here?
Well, let's start by diving into some of those Python snippets. There are some pretty clever techniques in there that make this whole analysis really efficient. And who knows, maybe we'll even try our hand at that quiz.
Sounds like a plan. Let's get started.
Looking back at those Python snippets, the use of Dask to download those CSV files really stood out.
Oh, yeah. Dask. That was that tool for handling those big data sets, right?
Yeah, exactly. And remember those slides showing how much faster it makes things. It's amazing how it can split up the work and just conquer it.
It's like having a whole team working on it at the same time, instead of just one person slowly plugging away. But why is speed so important here? I mean, it's just data, right?
Well, think about how big this WAQI data set actually is. We're talking hundreds of cities, years of data. Downloading those files one by one would take forever.
Oh, right. It would be like trying to, I don't know, download every book from a giant library one at a time.
Exactly. Dask lets us grab those books, or data files in this case, much more efficiently. Speaking of grabbing specific things, one of the quiz questions asked about filtering the data to only look at European Union countries.
That's an interesting one. Why would we want to limit ourselves like that? just to make the analysis simpler.
Simplification is part of it, I guess, but it's more about focusing the analysis. By looking at just the EU, we can really dig into trends specific to that region.
So it's like zooming in on a particular part of a map instead of looking at the whole thing at once. You can see more detail that way.
Exactly. And it lets us ask more targeted questions, like how does air quality compare across different EU countries? Or how have EU policies impacted things? Which actually reminds me of another quiz question. It was about pivot tables.
Pivot tables. Now, those sound familiar, but I can't quite remember what they're all about. Something to do with summarizing data, right?
You got it. They're incredibly useful for spotting patterns and relationships in the data that you might not otherwise see.
Okay, so how would we use a pivot table with this WAQI data? Give me an example.
Sure. Let's say we want to compare the average temperature and humidity for different cities in the EU, but only during the summer months. A pivot table can group the data by city and time period and then calculate those averages for us. Pretty neat, huh?
So instead of this huge, messy spreadsheet, we get a nice summary that's easier to understand.
Exactly. And that summary can tell us a lot about how comfortable those cities feel at different times of the year, which of course brings us back to that temperature humidity index, or THI. You know, it's not just about feeling comfortable, though. Analyzing THI can have some really practical applications, especially for these big European cities.
Oh, I see. Like what?
Well, think about public health. Knowing the THI can help cities identify areas that are at risk for heat stress during those hot summer months.
Oh, right. I remember reading about how some European cities can get dangerously hot.
Exactly. And that's where this data comes in. It can help cities make better decisions about things like cooling centers or even planting more trees for shade.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Data can actually help make cities more livable.
It really can. And it's not just about health. THI can also inform urban planning. You know, things like what materials to use for buildings, how to design ventilation systems, even the layout of public spaces, all to make cities more comfortable and sustainable. And, you know, it all starts with understanding how THI fluctuates throughout the year, which, by the way, is exactly what that visualization for Kaunas, Lithuania, showed us.
Oh, yes. The heat map. That was cool. It was like a calendar, but with colors showing how comfortable it felt on different days.
It was a really effective way to see those THI patterns throughout the year. You could see the hot spots literally during the summer months.
Did the heat map reveal anything surprising about Kaunas? Or was it pretty much what you'd expect?
Well, it definitely confirmed the typical seasonal changes, but it also highlighted the importance of microclimates. You know, different parts of a city can actually feel quite different depending on things like trees, buildings, and even water.
Oh, right. Hadn't thought about that. It's like a city within a city.
Exactly. And that kind of granular detail can be super useful for urban planners. You know, thinking about how to design specific neighborhoods or areas. Now, while we're talking about the specifics of the code, there's one thing that really stood out to me. The way it used that product function in Python. Do you remember that?
Maybe. Refresh my memory.
Okay, so remember how we were talking about analyzing data for specific year quarter combinations, like 2019 Q1, 2019 Q2, and so on?
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, the product function is like a shortcut to generate all those combinations automatically.
Oh, so instead of typing all those out by hand, the code just does it for us.
Exactly. It's like having a little helper that takes care of the boring stuff, and it makes the code way more efficient. You know, speaking of making things more efficient, there was another little trick in the code that I thought was pretty clever. Using variables like names and Y names to store the lists of quarters and years.
I'm not sure I follow. Why is that so clever?
Well, it's all about making the code easier to read and change. Think of it like a recipe. Instead of writing out teaspoon every time, you can just use TSP.
Oh, I see. So it's like a shorthand way of writing things.
Exactly. And it makes the code less cluttered. Plus, if you need to update the year range or something, you only have to change it in one place. Kind of like having a master control panel for your code.
I like that analogy. Makes it seem less scary. Now, there was another quiz question that really got me thinking. It was about downloading files from a URL.
Ah, yes. That's a fundamental part of data analysis. A lot of times the data we need isn't just sitting on our computer. We have to go get it.
It's like ordering a book online instead of going to the library. You have to wait for it to arrive before you can read it.
That's a good way to put it. And in this case, the code has specific commands to download those WAQI data files right from their source online.
It's like sending a digital messenger to fetch the information for us.
Exactly. And, there was one more thing that I wanted to mention about downloading those files. Remember that line of code that checks if the file already exists and is the correct size before downloading it?
Vaguely. Why is that important?
Well, it's all about efficiency. If we already have the file and it's up to date, why download it again?
Makes sense. Don't waste time and energy downloading something you already have.
Right. And it ensures we're not using outdated data. It's like having a built-in quality control check. This whole deep dive has really shown me how important these seemingly small details are in the world of data
I
analysis.
know, right? It's like building a complex machine where every little piece has a purpose. And when they all work together, we get these amazing insights.
I agree. It's a testament to human ingenuity and how we use technology to understand the world around us. But it's not just about the technical stuff, it's about using this knowledge to solve real-world problems.
That's a great point. I think it's time we take a step back and look at the bigger picture here. What does all this mean? What questions does it raise? What are the implications for our lives, our cities, and our planet? One thing that's really stuck with me is this whole idea of open data. Imagine if everyone had access to this kind of information, not just people who know how to code.
That would be incredible, wouldn't it? It could really change things.
I mean, think about it. People could use this data to push for cleaner air in their communities, or maybe even decide where they want to live based on how comfortable it feels throughout the year.
Exactly. It could really empower people to make informed decisions about their lives and their environment.
It's like giving everyone a voice in shaping the future of their cities and their planet.
I love that. And it's not just about these big global initiatives like the UN platform. Even the fact that we're having this conversation right now, sharing these code snippets and notes, it all contributes to that open data movement.
You're right. Every little bit helps. It's like we're all part of this big puzzle trying to understand the world around us.
And the more pieces we can put together, the clearer the picture becomes.
This deep dive has been quite a journey, hasn't it? We've gone from looking at this massive data set to talking about how it can actually be used to make a difference.
It really has, and it just shows you the power of data and human curiosity.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, it's that curiosity that drives us to ask questions, to learn, to explore.
And to share those discoveries with others.
And to our listener, I want to say, keep that curiosity alive. Don't be afraid to dive into the data yourself. Ask questions, seek answers, and see what insights you can uncover. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the one to make the next big breakthrough.
Absolutely. The world needs more people who are willing to look at the data, to think critically, and to come up with solutions to the challenges we face.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive. Thank you for joining us on this exploration of European cities, air quality, and the power of data to illuminate the path forward.
It's been a pleasure. Until next time.